Amen. Thank you very much, ladies. Please take your Bible, turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Tonight, we're going to look at verses 14 and 15, and talk about dealing with guilt, how God deals with guilt when you deal with Him through proper repentance, how guilt is removed, and how God does it. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the Word of God that teaches us, reminds us. God, we're so thankful that we have your Word, that we can see how to deal with circumstances and situations in our lives. And then when we desire to have restored, renewed fellowship with you, how you work in us and remove things from us that we cannot remove ourselves. And I pray tonight that especially we would see the truth that's contained here and that we would be delivered from the guiltiness of our lives, that we would see that when we deal with you in truth, you do things that we cannot possibly imagine in us. Lord, I thank you for your word that instructs us and then gives us this hope. And I pray you'd work in us tonight. Give me unction and clarity of thought to convey the truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There is a problem in churches today, in Christians in particular, that is this reoccurrence of guiltiness. Why am I so guilty all the time? How do I get over my guiltiness? So, first of all, the very first thing you need to do, and you would have had to heard it or go back and listen to it, is you have to agree with God about sin. So one of our problems is we don't agree with God about sin. We dismiss it. We talked about that quite a bit this morning. And as we've dealt with this passage, we've talked about how that David is in complete agreement with God. He's in agreement with the law. He's in agreement with the word. He's in agreement with the preacher that brought him the truth of the sin. He's in agreement with God face to face, that God is right, that he is wrong. He admits that he was born in iniquity, that he is a wicked sinner. Now, these are all things we don't like to think about because we like to think that once I'm saved, that's taken care of how I was born. But we're all born sinners, and we all have this problem. The flesh wants to control us. The flesh can't. It's dead, but we love the flesh controlling us. Does that make any sense? We love it. We love Brother Bush, some of you know him and remember him, some of you do not. But Brother Bush and I had long conversations about this, and he told me, and I love it. This is what I loved about Brother Bush, and it reminds me that it's okay to remember these things. Brother Bush smoked whenever he was younger. and he smoked a long time. And he told me, he said, I would smoke today if I thought it was okay for Christians to smoke. I love the smell. You go, Brother Ron. No, he told me, I love the flavor of beer. Some of you are like, oh, he's dead. You shouldn't talk like that. That was Brother Bush. He said, but God took that away from me, and I don't need it. See, it's not that he's not lying and saying, I gave it all up, and I dedicate. No, God took it away from me, and I don't need it. Do you know it's the same way with guilt? God wants to take away your guilt because you don't need it. We live in a guilt. Isn't that the way the world drives us today? If they can make us feel guilty about something, that's the way they're going to win. That's what they think. Guilt is something that God wants to deal with, but we have to deal with it in agreement with Him. So the first thing that we can see here in verse number 14 is He goes to God and He says, deliver me from blood guiltiness. Now, up to this point in this psalm, he's not mentioned blood guiltiness. Blood guiltiness is the fact that he shed innocent blood, he shed blood, and he should have been killed. He should have been put to death because he shed innocent blood. He planned a murder. He should have been put to death. That was the law. That is also God's judgment. If a man murders a man, then at the hands of a man shall his blood be required. That's what the Bible says. Now, whether it doesn't matter what you think about it. Our problem is we just don't think we deserve to suffer the consequence that drastically. So someone murders someone and they had reasons. Everybody's got a reason for everything they do. You can justify anything. You can say, well, she said something to me or she slapped me. If you're a man and you slap a woman back, you've got a serious problem. Why don't you slap a man? Sissy boy. Well, she's mean. Well, you're hanging around her. I mean, think about your decisions. We never consider the consequences of our choices. And here, he is able to say to God, I deserve this. I need you to deliver me from the reminder that I deserve this. How many of you would be honest and say, you've done things in your life that you wish you'd have never done, and some days, they come back and you go, you just... wow. I say to myself many times, idiot. You wasted. Now, how many of you be honest and raise your hand? I'm going to raise my hand because I'm just going to be honest. I'm preaching. I should be honest. We have. How do we move into this, God, deliver me from my blood guiltiness? This is a cry, a request that David believes is going to be answered. He knows that God wants to do it. Now, you can look in the New Testament and see that Jesus Christ in Colossians took all of the things that were written against us, the Bible says, and nailed them to his cross and delivered us from not just the sin, but the weight of the guilt. Of the sin. So God is the only one who can deal with sin. But dealing with guilt is a struggle that we have to be willing to give up. Charles Spurgeon wrote this, and I love it. He said, besides his sin of adultery was a capital offense. That means he deserved to die. And he puts himself down as one worthy to die the death. So the first thing he did here by saying, deliver me from blood guiltiness. Now, blood guiltiness is not just the fact that he deserved to die, but the fact that he knew he deserved to die. So it was weighing upon him that he knew, and we know in the other Psalms that we've looked at, that he struggled, that it kept him awake, that his bones ached, that his eyes were red when he got up in the morning. He was constantly bothered by it. It was something that caused great guilt in him. So he admits, I deserve the death. So the first way you're going to deal with the guilt is admit you deserve the consequences for it. If you think about God delivering your soul from hell, and that you, as a wicked sinner, deserve still to burn in hell, that's what we deserve. Thank God we're not going to get that by his grace and mercy. Nonetheless, we deserve it. It helps us to come to grips with, God, you're right. Blood guiltiness was this overwhelming guilt that he carried, knowing he deserved the consequence. So you have to agree with God about the consequence. That's something that we rarely do. There's always a reason. Let me not say anytime, because that might be an over-exaggeration. Most of the time when you deal with someone about a specific instance in their life that's very specific, instead of just not just owning it, but instead of admitting they deserve whatever the consequence is or whatever they've done, 90% of the time they're going to have a reason. Well, 99% of the time they're going to have a reason why they did it. Now you go, Brother Ron, now we're adults. No. When you talk to a little kid, they always have a reason why they did it. Why did you do that? There's always going to be some reason. My reason was always my brother's. It was their fault. It was never my mom or dad. It was always my brother's. Now, my brother's now blame me, which I guess that's equal justice. But I could always, you know, there were four of them. It was me and four other brothers. So there were plenty of people to blame. It was good. But there was always a reason. My brothers blamed me when we were younger. Or when we walked around as a gang, there were five of us, remember. We're walking around as a gang. We were a gang. And people would pick on us. Now, we didn't have knives and stuff. Calm down, everyone. We lived in Georgia where you chunked rocks. Remember that, chunking rocks? All right. So we're walking around, and then it was the kid's fault for coming out of his yard and threatening us. I mean, we played football one time just to beat up one kid. I need to be delivered from that blood guiltiness. So I remember how I acted when I was a kid, and then as I became an adult, I had reasons. Everybody's got reasons. You can reason anything in your mind why you did what you did. Brother Dean went through several reasons for people leaving churches or making this choice, or even Samson making the choices that he made. You need to agree with God that your reasons are not reasons. You did it because you did it, and it wasn't right. There's nothing that will justify it. Now, this is part of dealing with the guilt. You go, well, isn't that going to pile more guilt on me? No. We're not trying to change those thoughts into more constructive thoughts. We're coming to an agreement that, God, we are so wicked that we deserve whatever the consequences were or are for that action. That's what David is saying. I deserve it. Then Spurgeon says this, honest penitents do not fetch a compass. I love that. Fetch a compass. That means try to go around it and confess their sins in an elegant periphrasis, but they come to the point and call a spade a spade. Now, he used all those big words. Why didn't he just go that? They call a spade a spade. He used two different words to explain. Fetching a compass and then a periphrasis is to go around it or try to come around, make a reason, try to explain away why they did what they did. Well, I wouldn't have done that except, so someone steals something. Why did you steal? Because I was hungry. Okay, but why are you hungry? Well, because I gambled my money away. Why didn't we go there first? Come on. The problem is we try to reason away our sin. When you try to reason it away, the guilt will remain because you haven't dealt with it. So we've got to deal with it head on. Call a spade a spade. Say, this is what I did. I did it because I wanted to, because I'm a sinner. Now, this is beyond repentance. This is dealing with my guilt. So when you stand, watch, when you stand and confess, in this case, I'll use a common marriage deal. When you stand and you confess to your wife that you, or your husband, that you had an inappropriate relationship with someone else, you don't say it like this: I wouldn't have ever done that. I admit I did it, but I would have never done that had you been the right kind of person. That's fetching a compass around my sin. Then what happens when the guilt starts rolling? We get angry. Why are you always bringing it back up in my face? Well, because you never really dealt with it. Really dealing with it says, I did what I did, and I was wrong. And if you think it's right to walk away, I deserve that. Do you know that's 98% of the time what someone wants to hear that's been wronged in any way, shape, form, or fashion? I deserve whatever you choose because I did it. Here's what we do. Well, I wouldn't have done it if you wouldn't have done it, I wouldn't have done it because you did it, I did it. But if you wouldn't have done it, I wouldn't have done it and did it. And because you did it, and so ultimately it's God's fault. Because he put us together. That's exactly where we bring it to. Well, you're never going to deal with guilt if you try to figure a way around your sin. Now, we're not talking about repentance. We're talking about a relationship restored in fellowship. We're not talking about salvation necessarily, although I think some people could really learn from this, things they did before they were saved. All you got to do is just deal with them and say, you know what, I deserve punishment for that. But you know what? God delivered me from it. Thank God he delivered me from it. I deserved it. It wasn't my parents that made me do it. I mean, people that say they got married and divorced because their parents made them do it. That's just, I cannot fathom that thinking. My parents did not make me get married. In fact, they tried to prevent Twyla from marrying me. My mom said to her several times, don't do it. Do you know what you're doing? She never said, I love him. She thought, maybe. And I'm certain in our life, there are times that she's saying, I wish I would have listened to his mother. Would have been so much easier. Now it's too late. I mean, she's lived with me longer than she ever lived with her parents, and I've lived with her longer than I ever lived with mine, and so we're together, and there's no sense in calling it off, so just forget it, Twyla. So, too bad. You made your choice. Your consequences are right here, right here. We can't try to figure out a way to make ourselves feel better about who we really are. Because I don't know about you, I can't. Things I do, things I think, places I've been, things I've thought and done, when those start coming piling back on me, here's what I've got to say. I deserve, but God delivered me. And when I can go back to that and agree with God, I can say this: if God's willing to forgive me, then I can move. Listen, no such thing as forgiving yourself, not in the Bible. If it's not in here, it's not in the Bible. You can't forgive yourself. You're incapable of forgiving yourself. You're a human being. You can't forgive at that level. but God can deliver you from it. And he wants to deliver you. Now, this is murder. I mean, this is murder. This is a man who had a relationship with God that murdered another man that had a relationship with God for a woman. This is murder we're talking about. Then he says this, faith grows by the exercise of prayer. David confesses his sin more plainly in this verse than before, and yet he deals with God more confidently. Growing upward and downward at the same time are perfectly consistent. The death penalty that blood guiltiness carries can only be removed by God. A great sinner pardoned makes a great singer. Sin has a loud voice, and so should our own thankfulness. Listen to what he says. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. So the guilt has been replaced with thanksgiving and the thought of God's righteousness, saying to the wicked sinner, I forgive you. Now look, it doesn't mean that you didn't do it. That should never go. He said, my sin's ever before me. Why? So that I'll remember where I am right now. But when I recognize that God has delivered me from that, then I will sing as loud as the sin was. I'll sing louder than that. Praises to God who forgave me and cleansed me by his righteous judgment and delivered me from the guiltiness. I can be forgiven and delivered from the guiltiness if I'll agree with God on the finer points of sin. This morning we were talking about learning. Twyla says the Bible, learn it, live it, love it. Also in Deuteronomy, it talks about learning, living, and loving it. You've got to do what you've learned. If you don't do it and you don't teach it, it hasn't been learned. You've got to put all of those things together. In this case, what I'm putting together is that God is the one who wants to deliver me from guiltiness. I can be delivered from guiltiness if I'll agree with him about the consequences, about the severity of the sin. And note that Spurgeon says this, it's consistent to grow downward and upward. Do you know the closer you become to God through the scripture and the closer you draw to him in prayer, the more guiltiness you're going to confess? Because there are things in there that we have that should not be deep down in there. And it's the root of bitterness grows deep. And so we need the righteousness of God and the goodness of God and the word of God to go deep after that root. And then I don't excuse my sin. I don't. Somebody says, people, we don't like to talk about our past offenses. Not, we say often not to glorify them. Ultimately, I think, at least in my case, because I'm a proud person, I don't want to admit that I'm a failure. It's hard to tell God I failed. It's hard to tell a young person, I've been where you are. I've done worse than you've done. When I sit down and talk to someone who's gone through a separation from God in their life, most of the time, I can look at them and say, look, I'm not bragging about this, but I'm telling you, God can bring you back from this. He did me, and I did much worse. Well, Brother Ron, that's just bragging. No, it's not. It's bragging that God's righteousness is ready, willing, and able to take me away from the guiltiness, away from the burden, away from the control. Look at Romans chapter number 6. I've said it before in the times I've preached, if you've never read through Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, you are missing a blessing. You need to know what God has done. So listen to what the Bible says in verse number 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? We have been freed from the power of sin. We've been freed from the control, the dominion of sin. We've also been freed from the guilt of sin if we will simply agree with God that the consequences for the sin are greater than we can bear. Hell is not going to be, it's not a place anybody's going to want to ever be. I don't want anybody I know to go there. It's rare, though, that we remember in our dealings with God, I need to remember, I deserve to go to hell. It makes me look at people differently, and it helps me teach transgressors his ways, and it causes me to do one thing, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. You know what it does? It takes away the guilt. Praise him, praise him. Not saying, as I've heard people say, if you just say the name of Jesus 45 times, that's like saying 50 Hail Marys. It's not going to do anything. That's not what he's saying. I will praise you because I agree with you, and yet you have delivered me from the very thing I deserve. David, the rest of his life, praised. Praised, 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 praised. You can go through the Psalms. There's Psalm 30, Psalm 40, Psalm 56, Isaiah 12, 1 Peter 2, Revelation 5. You know what we're going to do? People that are forgiven much praise loudly. In the Revelation, we're standing around the throne as the Lamb walks forward to open the book and open the scrolls and pronounce judgment on the world. And we, with the 24 elders, are there around the throne casting crowns at his feet, and we are saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We're praising him because we were in darkness, now we're in light. We don't understand what we've been forgiven, and therefore we miss the deliverance from guilt. Because I know what I did. I was saved when I did it. I know what I did. I got saved whenever I was 9. I had done nothing wicked. I was just born a sinner, which was wicked enough. I still needed a Savior. When I started going away from God was when I knew better. And I can look back, and there's nothing good about any of that, but I can look back and say, do you know God has delivered me from that? Twilight and I have talked about this quite a bit. I don't even remember. No, listen to me. I don't even remember some of the stuff. I don't go back there. Why? Because I'm growing downward and upward. But you don't do that by sitting around trying to read books that help you deal with it or coming up with self-help things. You go to the Scriptures. And as you praise him, he says this, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. I have a choice. I can either sit back in my guilt and bemoan my ignorance, my brutishness. Since many of you don't like the word stupidity, it's the same thing. Some days it's overwhelming. I don't sit there like you've got it all fixed. If you do, then write a book so I can read it. Because it's not, there are some days that I sit around and I become, you know why? Satan loves to use that. He wants to stop us and defeat us and say this, You're not capable of doing this. Why are you even doing this? Why are you a preacher? You know, you shouldn't be a preacher. You know, you should be dead somewhere in the gutter. Brother Ron, does he? Yes, he does. I don't fight depression, but I do fight guilt. And I have to bring myself to this point every time. God, Satan's really right. I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve to be delivered. It's just by your grace and your mercy. And suddenly I'm singing songs. And suddenly I'm praising Him. And suddenly I'm telling people, God can do this. He did it. I've seen Him do it. He can do it. You can be delivered. You don't have to live here. You don't have to let this hinder you. You don't have to. It's your choosing. God, I'll praise you if you'll open my mouth. You know what God says? I'll open your mouth. I'm unworthy. I'm useless. If you knew me in any period of my life at times, you would hate my guts. I hate my guts. I don't ever want to see him. I mean, I do. Sometimes I look at myself and I just appall myself. Well, Brother Ron, I can't believe you were that wicked. Believe it. I still am. The way I deal with it, though, is a lot different than I dealt with it before. I would sit and I would say, oh God, please take these thoughts away. Take this away from me. And then finally I realized, you know what? If you'll just agree with God and acknowledge how great He is, you'll be amazed at what He does. See, if you're saved, if you died right now, you know you go to heaven, and you have things in your past that are just overwhelming, agree with God that they were completely wrong, that you do not deserve to be delivered, you deserve the consequences of that sin. When you do that, what you're going to start seeing is, but wait a minute. God not only delivered me from it, but He actually, there's some of those things that I should have suffered that He didn't. Come on, that's exactly what He's talking about. I should be dead, but I'm not. I'll just go down a list of things that I know. I should be divorced, but I'm not. What? Yeah, I should be. The way I treated my wife? Absolutely. I should be shot in the head somewhere with my mouth. Now, you can ask my mom and dad. I picked fights with kids whenever I was 4 and then made my brother fight them for me when he was only 3. You go, nah, I'm telling you, I should be with my attitude and heart in jail. I should be. I should be in hell dead with a broken back laying there screaming for eternity. I should be. But God, did exactly the opposite. When I think about that, I can't help but thank Him and praise Him, because I agree with Him and He saw fit to do what nobody else could do. He delivered me. So now I don't cry because I'm guilty. I cry because I'm thankful. Because sometimes it becomes so overwhelming when I think that God delivered me. It'll help you. It'll change you. You'll stop living back here and press toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul had to do it. Certainly we're going to have to do it. If you want to be delivered from guiltiness, we've got it right there. All you got to do is agree. acknowledge, admit that God is the only one who can do what you can't do for yourself. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.